That noise is definitely getting louder and closer.
Hide. Best place is up trees.
Not many good ones to climb, Dad. I've been looking around. There's a big oak over there.
Dean pointed toward a large bold tree about 50 yards to the left, just visible among the pines.
Good boy. Anyone got a better idea?
Maybe we could take them out with knives. No ammo, no noise.
We don't know how many. If they're really muti killers, then we could find ourselves deep in the big muddy.
Ah, shit. Let's climb.
At 5'4" and stockily built, Mildred had the most difficulty making it into the lower branches of the live oak. In the end, JB dropped to hands and knees so that she could stand on his back, while Jack and Abe, already in the tree, reached down and hauled her up.
I recall seeing one of the great whales being heaved up to the masthead of a schooner by a team of merry chantymen. The image is strangely familiar at this moment.
I wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire, Dr. Theophilus Tanner.
Only Ryan and Doc were now standing on the ground.
Come on, Doc. Up you go.
After you, dear friend.
Not that easy a scramble.
The old man smiled condescendingly.
I was scrumping for apples before you were even a gleam in your father's eyes, Ryan, old friend. In fact, I was doing it about 170 years before your father impregnated your mother.
Well, do it now, Doc.
Ryan glanced around the tree toward the northeast, where the sound seemed to originate. He realized, to his dismay, that he could now see the dim shapes moving in the morning shadows, like great gray ghosts sliding between the pines.
Very well.
Doc reached up for an ancient burr on the side of the live oak and grasped it firmly. He kicked himself into the air, legs scrabbling for a purchase, failing to find it, and dropping to the ground again.
Would you like us to drop a rope for you?
Oh, very funny, Dr. Wyeth.
I thought so.
The last thing Ryan wanted was to instigate a panic in the old man, but the animals were moving ever nearer, stopping to dig with their hooked tusks among the roots of the trees, seeking mushrooms or grubs. The ones that Ryan could see looked to be appreciably larger than normal pigs, but distance was deceptive and he couldn't be sure. At least the light breeze was blowing from the north, so that they wouldn't yet have scented the humans.
Move it, Doc.
Are we about to enjoy some company?
Looks that way, Doc.
Ryan responded by holstering the Sig Sauer and cupping his hands together like a stirrup.
Up!
Doc shoved the sword stick into his belt and placed his right foot in Ryan's hands, glancing up to see that Jack and JB were hanging onto the lower branches of the big oak tree, waiting to help him.
Dad!
I know, boy. Up you go, Doc. Quick as you can.
My pleasure.
The old man pushed down while Ryan lifted, reaching up for assistance. Then, Doc was gone.
Damn. He just gets heavier every year.
Ryan risked a last glance around the side of the tree, seeing that the pigs had somehow detected their presence. They were running toward the oak at a fair speed, muzzles low to the earth like hunting dogs. Now that they were near, less than 50 yards away, Ryan could appreciate how enormous and powerful the muti animals were.
Holy shit.
The nearest was a boar, one tusk broken off short, leaving a jagged point, the other tusk curving wickedly, its tip stained with clotted mud. The creature had to have stood nearly 5 feet tall at the shoulder, better than 10 feet from snout to the tip of its curling tail.
I'll shoot it!
No, don't!
Ryan jumped for the same rounded burr that Doc had tried for unsuccessfully. Though Doc had an extra inch in height, Ryan had vastly more strength and agility. He reached and held, swinging his legs up over a protruding branch in a single easy motion. Something caught the heel of his combat boot. He quickly pulled himself safely into the tree.
Gaia, damn it!
Christie's emerald eyes were wide with shock. She held out her hand to steady him, helping him to climb a little higher into the tree.
Too close?
Too close.
Suddenly, there were pigs everywhere, crowding around the tree, banging into it, jostling one another, their tusks clashing like sabers. Ryan looked about him, seeing that everyone was perched higher up, all of them finding a nook or cranny to hang on to. Everyone stared down at the maelstrom of murderous animal flesh below them. The whole tree was now vibrating under their weight and pressure. Ryan peered down, seeing that the monstrous pack leader, with the broken tusk, had struggled to rear itself up onto its hind legs, its muzzle questing toward him. Its slobbering lips were pulled back off the drool-smeared fangs, wheezing in its desire to reach Ryan. Trader was just above Ryan, straddling a thick branch, plucking acorns and hurling them at the pigs.
Fuck off, pigs. Why not chill them?
For the reason I told you. They'll get tired and move off. They know they can't reach us.
The huge boar seemed to have hurt Ryan as it dropped back to its 4 feet. Its head turned at an angle, tiny, furious eyes glowering at the 9 people in the tree. But the herd of pigs still showed no immediate interest in moving away. Altogether, Ryan counted 39 of the brutes. It was difficult to be totally accurate because they kept milling around among the trees. There were only a few piglets, the rest of them being mainly young sows and boars, with a scattering of older animals. The sun was now up behind the jagged peaks of the Sierras, with the promise of a fine day to come.
When they gonna give up, Dad?
Suddenly, nearly all of the pigs stopped their rooting around and looked up into the tree.
Soon, Dee. Real soon.
I hope.
Another hour had drifted by. The pleasant morning was being ruined by the presence and stench of the mutant pigs. They were still all gathered around the oak tree where Ryan and the other 8 friends were clustered. Every time anyone in the branches made any sort of noise, the pigs would stop and stare hungrily upward. The leader of the herd had started pushing against the scarred trunk of the tree. It seemed as though it were trying to organize some of the larger young boars to help him.
For Lord's sake! I never thought that I'd be threatened by 10 tons of bacon on the hoof. They're going to try to rot the tree clean out of the ground. Look! Some of them are burrowing away around the roots.
Trader readied the armalite. Ryan hesitated a moment.
Not yet.
You mean to wait until the tree falls down and drops us among the fucking pigs?
No, I mean to wait a little longer. Most animals don't have the patience to hang around for too long.
Most animals don't have 9 ready-made meals sitting up a tree just waiting to be eaten.
I said we'd wait. If there's a real danger of them felling the tree, then we can take them out easily enough. But it'll take a mess of ammo and make too much noise.
For 20 minutes or so, nobody spoke. Ryan watched the pigs, fascinated by their grim dedication. A number of the younger boars were digging away at the base of the live oak, tunneling into the moist earth and gnawing or snapping through any roots that they encountered. The old boar was organizing the sows to keep pushing at the trunk, rocking it back and forth, the upper branches and leaves swishing with the jerking movement. The animals were enormously, freakishly powerful. Their skin was coarse and thick, covered in long bristles, scarred with the wounds from old injuries, and dappled with a leprous, scaly condition. Their hooves were sharp, suited for digging or trampling, and they all had vicious teeth and tusks. From where he was perched, Ryan could see a little way across the forest toward the east, where they believed the Villa Farron Wayman lay. He could just make out a thin column of white smoke rising into the morning sky, about 2 miles off, that he guessed might be the cooking fires for first food. While he stared toward the mountains, Ryan was picking off bits of dry dead twigs, flicking them down into the backs of the pigs. One piece hit the huge boar with the broken tusk on the ear.
Shit!
It charged the tree square on with its shoulder. The snap branch down, clinging to it as it bounced up other lower branches, slowing its progress.
Abe!
Jack tried to grab Abe as he plummeted by, but he couldn't quite reach him.
Shit!
The pigs scattered, afraid of the sudden commotion, suspecting a trap from the skies. They lumbered clumsily in all directions, so that Abe and a chunk of the live oak hit the ground at a place free from any of the animals. The fall completely knocked all the wind out of the gunner, leaving him sprawled flat on his back, wearing a leafy crown and a long, shallow cut across his forehead that was already seeping dark blood. Any hesitation was likely to be fatal.
Let's go!
Ryan was fastest out of the tree, swinging down onto the ground, landing deftly with the Sig Sauer in his hand. Jack was second and Trader a close third, followed a half second later by JB.
Now?
Ryan was watching the herd of pigs. They'd stopped their panicked run at the edge of the clearing, all of them looking back at the bunch of humans, seeming as if they were gathering themselves for a charge.